Main menu.
Main menu.
Main menu.
Main menu.
Hello there, and a very warm welcome to another Main Menu, ACB Radio Mainstream's regular look at technology from a blindness perspective. Main Menu is first heard every Wednesday on ACB Radio Mainstream at 1 Universal, that's Tuesday evenings in North America. On the programme this week, just the one item. Main Menu goes out and about in Scotland to road test the VisuAid Talking GPS.
I'm joined by Ian Hamilton and John Gerd in John's home in Glasgow. John's employed as a social worker in Glasgow, and Ian is a reporter-producer for BBC Radio Scotland. Both these gentlemen are the proud owners of the VisuAid Talking GPS, and we're going to talk a little bit about the GPS, pluses, the minuses, and hopefully in a moment we'll wander out into Glasgow and see how we get on. Should we talk about what a GPS actually is and what it does and what the purpose is of a GPS? A GPS stands for Global Positioning System, or
that's
is it?
Right.
That's
yeah.
right. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's essentially a satellite system. It's a method of pinpointing where you are by the use of what's called geostationary satellites.
Okay.
Satellites that are orbiting in a fixed position above you. And essentially, this unit is able to receive the signal from these satellites and work out exactly where you are.
And can you receive that signal anywhere, or is that limited to?
You can receive it from just about anywhere, so long as you've got the internal map. Now, the caveat to that is that if you're in an area that's maybe got a lot of high buildings, that can start to interfere with the signal. It just usually means there's maybe a delay in a response. Sometimes it'll tell you that it's lost contact with the signal, and then it re-establishes it. But it works pretty well. We've certainly worked it in the city centre. Ian's probably worked it more so in the city centre than I have, and it works.
How do you find the coverage, Ian? Have you used this? Does it work in very built up areas, or do you need line of sight with the satellite, or how do you find the coverage?
In the centre of Glasgow, there's mm-hmm. quite a lot of high buildings, and the streets are reasonably narrow, say right. in comparison with some American cities.
Right.
And because the buildings are so high, as John says, you can sometimes lose a signal, but you quite often pick it up again at junctions, at crossroads or junctions,
right.
where there's more sky visible.
Okay.
And obviously, the more sky visible, the better the opportunity the device has to pick up satellites. And it's quite often at junctions, it's when you want to know where you are, isn't it? Which street
Absolutely,
is it?
Absolutely, yes. Yeah.
And it will quite often...
Or intersections, as the Americans call
it. Intersections, yes. It will quite quickly re-establish itself and say, oh, you're on Argyle Street, you're on Sookie Hall Street. I have never been lost for any longer than 20 seconds, where right. in the past I have been lost for a lot longer than that, and I'm sure yeah. you have as well, David.
I have so.
And just a point as well to make about the maps. When I talk about maps, I mean, they cover a fairly substantial area. For instance, the one for Glasgow covers the whole of Scotland.
Right. Let's talk about the maps. Mm-hmm. Do they come to you supplied on flashcards, or do you have to buy the flashcards and then get the maps separately?
No. When you buy the device, it'll give you the map for where you live. So, for example, you live in Glasgow, we will get the map for the whole of Scotland.
So they'll give you one default
London,
map.
Yes. But you can buy extra maps.
Yeah.
I don't know quite sure. I think they're about £40 sterling. What would it be in American? $60?
No, about $70, I think, with the exchange rate
yeah.
at the moment.
So, but one important thing to remember about these maps, that they've been no good to a sighted person, because they've had to negotiate with the company who owns the maps.
Right.
That on the screen, all they're allowed to show is text, not actual physical maps.
Okay.
So they had to get an agreement from the company
yes.
to say that they wouldn't show the maps. That's how they got the maps cheaper.
So in essence, what the GPS device does is to use these satellites, the signal from these satellites, to get a series of coordinates.
Exactly.
Cross-reference that information with the map that you've purchased or mm-hmm. been supplied with.
Mm-hmm.
And then it'll tell you then whereabouts yeah. on the map you are.
Yeah. Essentially yeah. what it does is it tells you what intersection's coming up next. And
okay.
You can browse offline to see where that might lead to.
Right, and
it will also tell you about points of interest, which is actually quite handy.
So you could browse the map, even though we probably wouldn't get a signal inside.
Yes,
you could still browse the map, and you could plan a route.
I'll give you a good example. Yep. A friend of mine who's a piano tuner in South London, and he covers a huge area of the southern. And quite often, the next day, he says, "Well, I'm going to find a particular road. I haven't been there before." So he can sit and rehearse his route.
Could we do that now? Perhaps even put John's.
Seems a bit more adjusted, but it's not finding the island.
Do you want to do that? Yeah. Okay, I'll get the. We have to edit this out a little bit till we get.
Yeah,
the
no, that's fine.
Time.
Not a problem, John. I believe you have the GPS there.
I have indeed. Way. Yes.
Right.
What it comprises is, it's basically a small PDA unit, computer, if you like, on a specially adapted harness with a strap. So it's about the size of a Walkman, I would say. It rests in a specially made container, which is actually Velcroed into it.
The thing that strikes me straight away, just looking at the device, it doesn't appear to be obviously a device designed for the blind. Often, when you see these sorts of things that are you hear about a talking this or a talking that, quite often there are huge chunky buttons and tactile markings and. All the bells and whistles. This seems like a mainstream product.
Yes, it is. In fact, I'll turn it just the other way towards you so that the buttons are facing you.
Okay, so facing me at the moment, we have a handle and a strap, which feels fairly sturdy. And I guess that goes over your shoulder.
It does.
And then there's an arrangement of plastic which kind of curves to an edge. Is that part of the that's part of the harness to hold the GPS device? And that click you just heard was the strap unclipping from the harness. So do you want to talk us through this?
Yeah. What you've got is a long flat button in the middle, which
is towards the lower edge of the device.
Yeah, okay. It's the edge. It's the edge that was that's nearest the strap.
Right.
So if this was hanging down. It would be closest to you.
Yeah, in the centre, and that's kind of
that's like a navigation. Yeah. That would help you navigate menus and so on. So it's basically an up and down and left and right. And then to either side, you've got two very tiny buttons to the left of that.
Right.
And then also to the right, you've got another two.
Okay.
And they basically have various functions, such as a cancel function, a call-up menu function, a where am I function. You can get away on the road with just using more or less one button, or maybe two. The maps we talked about are actually downloadable for United States and Canada. You can actually get them from the VisuAid website.
We heard there that there was no coverage. Obviously, we're indoors at the moment. We're going to do what you call offline navigating, is that?
Yep, we're going to do it, and we're going to just go into that. So we go into tools.
The speech sounds fairly familiar.
It's eloquent.
Right.
Surprise, surprise.
Yes.
Browsing offline.
So to do this, you've done what exactly?
I have gone into the bottom right-hand key, which is a kind of enter key, a function key.
Right.
And then it gives me a menu system, which everybody's familiar with.
And then you can navigate using the central
button.
Type button.
Now what I've got here is saying, point of interest, I've got to go and find a box now.
Browsing offline dialog.
So tell me the dialog box.
Please select your browsing origin. Combo box. Crossing. 1 of 4.
So tell me the crossing there. I've got 1 of 4 in here. So say select from favourites.
So there are 4 options
there. Search
point
of interest.
Right. So the points of interest, they're places that you've been to previously and stored.
There's default ones, and there's ones that I have stored. Because on the side of the unit, there's a little button, which is a record button.
Okay.
So rather than having to try and type things in, you hit a little button, and you would go, I'm at such a crossing on such a street.
Yes.
And then what you can do later, you can input that in Braille, and perhaps John will explain that a bit later on.
Excellent.
But I'll go through this at the moment.
Because there is no QWERTY keyboard on the device itself, is there?
No.
Search and select the point of interest of origin.
It's quite interesting how they've done
POI
it.
POI search dialog. Name, edit. Category, combo box. Personal, 33 of 51.
Now, that's quite important for you to hear that, because there's 51 different categories which are defaulted here. That one's called personal, but there's loads of others.
So there's plenty of plenty of scope for storing
There's already some stored. There are things like, I think all the hotels, it seems like in Scotland, seem to be in there, hundreds and hundreds, right. hundreds of hotels all over
and
Scotland.
And is this data updated? Do you get updates?
You will get updates. We've not had it a year yet, and we've been told that we will get updates.
Right.
For that. It's a very new product, so it's difficult to know where it's going to go in some respects.
I'm not sure about they're updating the software, the operating software. I'm not sure about the maps.
There will be the maps. Anybody who's familiar with GPSs for cars, you have to update them fairly every year, every 2 years. But right. I think this map will probably do you for a little while.
Yeah. Okay, so let's look at a route then.
List box, bus stop, 1 of 16.
Now, we've now got a list of the various points of interest that I've put in here. Now, I've got more than 16, but I've kept some of my personal, and I've saved some of the others. For example, say there's a local railway station, which for some reason is not in the
default point of interest.
Yeah, I've added that.
That's quite surprising, isn't it?
Most of them are in there, but just say, for example, there isn't one in there.
Right.
I could save it in there. Or a shop, say there's a category of stores.
Yes.
Well, what you could do is you could save your local store into the major data, the main database.
So the default points of interest, they tend to be, as you indicated earlier, hotels and the like.
Exactly, tend to be big places. And
Safe crossing. Pole on right.
I could have walked into that pole, so I'll put a wee point in.
POI2. POI1. Pass.
Now, what do those say?
Well, I'm going to go to my home. I'm going to go to my home village now. There's a little thing near my home village.
Pass.
Mailbox.
Chemist.
Let's go to the chemist, which is nearby my house, okay?
And it's dialogue.
And it's going to take me there.
You are currently on King Street.
Now, I am sitting here in John's house in Glasgow, and it's by magic, it's transported me 25 miles south of here to my village. And I have put a POI in here for the local chemist.
Okay.
Now, I want to get, say, from the chemist, say, to the nearby park, and say I don't know where I'm going, someone's given me some streets
to run my
dog.
Right.
So we're outside the chemist, and I'm going to, by using the cursor key in the middle, I can adjust the direction of what direction I walk in the map.
Ah, right, okay.
It saves a great deal of shoe leather, and it's much more comfortable sitting here doing it with you, David, than actually doing it in real life.
Well, let's hopefully we'll get to that.
We can't go that way, it's telling me, so I'm going to go this way. I tried to go forward. Obviously, I couldn't go that way. There must be a wall or a building.
Right.
So I've gone right. Let's see which way it takes me now.
And when three-way intersection, King Street crossing, Wayne Street on your right.
Okay, just to clarify.
Yeah.
You pressed the upper edge of the joystick type button.
Correct.
And you were told that you couldn't go in that direction.
Correct.
So then you pressed the right-hand edge of the button.
And I'm spun round.
And it rotates you then.
Yeah.
So now the point that you couldn't go previously is now to your left.
Yeah.
Because you've turned 90 degrees right.
Exactly. Now, I thought when I originally done that, I've gone wrong. Ah, because Queen Street, there's two ends to Queen Street.
Right.
I've gone the wrong way.
So you need to turn round.
And by pressing the bottom edge of that cursor button, they're going to spin me right round again.
Oh, I see. Okay.
In front. King Street.
That's me back on King Street.
Right.
So I'm going to walk on now.
Two-way intersection. King Street crossing Townhead Street in front.
Well, that's Townhead Street in front.
But it doesn't give you any indication in terms of how far you would have to go before you got to that intersection.
No, it's not. And this is what John was saying a few moments ago, that there's going to be new plugins where there's actually some defaults in there that can tell you how many metres or feet that you've walked.
Yes.
But that's not been activated yet, and I believe, I hope I'm not speaking out of turn here, that will be on the new update coming up. We should have had it by now, actually, and it's not come out yet.
Okay.
It's a bit annoying.
And what's the resolution of the of GPS? How accurate to what? Is it accurate to within a few feet or metres?
Well, this depends where you are in the world.
Okay.
If you live in North America,
yes,
you're going to have many more satellites compared, say, with Northern Europe.
Okay.
I think it's something like 15 or 16 satellites. So it's going to be much more accurate, say,
yes,
in the United States and Canada compared, say, here in Europe.
Okay.
Where we might only have, I think the most amount of satellites I've had here is about 8 or 9. I don't know how many John's had.
It's about the same.
So so you can see it's going to be much more accurate there. But in saying that, I found it's accurate within maybe 10 feet. 20 feet?
Yeah, 20 feet, I would say. Sometimes better, depending on the coverage.
It does. It depends how many satellites you've got. But that's not bad. Remember, it's really important to keep this in your mind.
If you know where you are within 20 feet, that's fairly...
Yes. This is not a mobility device. It's an orientation device.
That's an important distinction.
It's not going to let you say there's a lamppost on your left. It's not going to say, you know, look out for the hole in the right. It's not about that.
No.
It's about letting you know where you are, what street's coming up, and where you are in the world. If you're completely lost.
So we've now continued along
Townhead Street.
Right.
And I'm going to look for a street called Vickers Road. And I know it's up here somewhere.
Three-way intersection. Townhead Street crossing Vickers Road on your right.
This is Vickers Road on my right.
Right.
So I'm going to take that road.
So you're pressing the right edge.
Press
Vickers
right. Road. Now,
and then that rotates you around 90 degrees so that you're facing down Vickers Road.
Vickers Road. And I'm now going to press the top edge of that button.
Go forward.
Three-way intersection. Vickers Road crossing Hill Road on your right.
No, it's what you said there, David. It's saying that Hill Road is on my right, but I have to walk a good, say, quarter of a mile up that road to get to that junction. But it doesn't seem like that, does it?
No.
But that's what we have to try and start. But even saying that, knowing that the next road on your right is the one that you want is very useful.
Yes.
On your right, Hill Road.
So I'm now going to walk down Hill Road.
So again, press the right edge.
I press the right edge, and I'm good. I've gone down.
It's now facing you.
Down Hill Road.
Yes.
I'm going to walk down Hill Road.
So this road will be parallel to the original road that we were.
You just try to confuse me.
Three-way intersection. Hill Road crossing Wilbury on your right.
That's Wilbury on your right. I'm going to avoid that one.
Three-way intersection. Hill Road crossing Laurie Street.
Now Laurie Street is the one that I want, so I want to turn left here.
Okay.
So I'm going to press the left edge of the button.
On your left, Laurie Street.
Okay, now I'm now facing down Laurie Street.
Three-way intersection. Laurie Street crossing Crow Road on your left.
That's Crow Road.
Four-way intersection. Laurie Street crossing A71.
Now this is interesting. I'm not actually crossing a road. That is the village bypass, which is a bridge. I'm actually walking under a bridge. Even though it's saying it's a crossing, it's not.
Right.
So I'm actually walking under a bridge here. And you'd hear that over to you if you were there. But it's a bit misleading. But anyway, I'll walk on.
So that the road could be going over you or under you.
Exactly.
Yeah, and it would still tell you that it was a crossing. Uh-huh.
So here I am now at the bottom at the park.
Million Road crossing Bloodcock Road on your left.
Well, these are all good Scottish names of roads. And this is me now near the park. It's not going to give me the park.
What was the name of that road?
Plotcott Road.
Are we allowed to say that?
You can say what you like. So that's us. I haven't got a point of interest for the park here. What I will do is, though, even though we are in a rehearsal mode, if you like.
Yes.
Okay. There's another
offline
mode. There's a button saying point of interest. I can press this button.
So this is where the park is then?
This is where the park is. I'm going to press a button here, and I'm going to see if there's any points of interest near here.
You are on Milieu Road. No points of interest were detected.
I'm on Milieu Road.
Intersection. Three ways. Milieu Road crossing Bloodcock Road on your left.
Right, that's telling me what's on my left. It's telling me where I am, and it's telling me there's no points of interest.
Right.
So if I could go back up the village, which I won't do just now, and you had a point of interest in there, it would say, you're on such a road, the park is on your left, the river is on your right. If I had added that in...
You would have to add that extra data, obviously.
Yeah, because I live in a small village outside Glasgow. Okay. Well, John lives in Glasgow.
Uh-huh.
The opportunities for him to find more points of interest are greater.
We're standing now outside John's home in Glasgow. And John has his GPS at the ready. So I understand, John, we need to establish a signal.
Yes, normally you can walk out into the street and pick up the satellite. Occasionally, it disconnects internally and you've got to physically make it reconnect with the satellite. And that's just what I'm about to do now.
Okay.
So I'm in the menu. I'm going into settings.
Settings.
Yes.
And
set GPS speaker on.
So press the enter button on that.
GPS connection on.
GPS connection on. So
that's quite reassuring.
Yeah. No, we have to wait for it.
So you're putting the strap over your shoulder now.
GPS status. Low coverage.
Now, it says, it always starts off saying there's no coverage.
Right.
It takes it a while to acquire a satellite.
Okay. So you've put the GPS over your shoulder and you have it suspended in front of you, is that right? On your...
Yeah. Essentially, the GPS is on a shoulder strap and it's on my right hip.
Okay.
It's hanging down a bit like a Walkman.
Right.
The shoulder strap also has a small square oblong battery.
Okay.
Which is kind of round about my midriff. And then an attachable speaker unit is attached to the strap near my shoulder. Now, I could actually attach that to a collar or, you know, a part of my shirt or a jumper,
right,
or a coat.
Okay.
Put it on your ear?
I won't put it on my ear, no.
Okay, gentlemen. So what are we going to do? We're going to head off up the street and see where we get to.
So here we go. Mine just came on there. Roger, this car goes past.
Okay, yeah. Do you want to just repeat that? We're not familiar with the...
Well, it's saying near 32 Brackney Road.
It's saying
Brackney Road.
Right.
Just because the software is not identified.
That's right, okay.
And it's saying 32, and that's important, that. I'll just turn it down a little second. Because it's not the same outside number 32. It looks for the beginning of the nearest segment.
Okay.
Or intersection.
So right.
At the beginning of the next intersection, which will probably be the end of the John's block here, I suspect will be number 32.
So we're eight houses away from 32, and it's told we're near 32. So it's found us within...
A segment.
Yes. Okay.
Now, it's real... Within the next few years, they're likely not to become much, much more accurate.
Okay. Well, let's... Should we head off and see where we get to?
Right, do you want to head off to the right, you?
Yeah, which is really good. I don't know where I am here. I don't know.
Well, I don't either. So, well, I'm walking along, and I have my cane in my hand, and ahead of me are John and Ian working their respective guide dogs. This is a residential area, and as you can hear, there seems to be quite a bit of traffic about. It's Friday afternoon. Coming up to rush hour, and I guess people wanting to get away for the weekend. And the road is curving round very slightly to our right.
Okay, David,
and we've reached an intersection.
Yeah, I just said something here.
Okay.
I'll just repeat it for you.
You are near 50 Barachny Road. No points of interest were detected.
Okay, so
intersection.
Just intersection.
Barachny Road crossing, street with no name.
There must be a wee lane up here.
Okay.
And it's in street with no name.
Right, so there are three roads. One of those, obviously, Brackney Road.
Yep.
And two others, one of which was unidentified. Do we know what the third was?
It didn't say.
It didn't say.
No, an intersection means it's the road that we're on is seeing that as a three-way interchange. Because you could go straight on.
Right.
You could go right, or you could go...
But we're still on Brackney Road,
are
we?
We're still on Brackney Road at the moment.
Right. And we heard there that we were near number 50, so we've obviously moved along a bit now.
Yes, yeah.
And we're into the next section, as it were.
Into the next segment.
Right.
But I don't know if I shove you at the radio.
No, it's quite all right. John's off ahead of us, and I'm not quite as fit as I used to be, so I'm bringing up the rear here. And I think we've reached. Have we reached another intersection?
Yep.
Okay. Let's hear from. Let's hear from John. What's
we are on.
Gordon Avenue.
She's not speaking.
No points of interest were detected. Next intersection. Four ways. Currently on Gordon Avenue with Garrow Hill Drive on your left, Clearwood Avenue in front, and Garrow Hill Drive on your right.
Right, so we heard that Garrow Hill was that?
Garrow Hill Drive.
On the right. Okay, should we take that, and will that take us around the block, perhaps?
Well, what I suggest is actually moving up to the next intersection and then crossing over and turning right.
Okay, let's do that then. Okay. So we'll cross over here. So we've... There are a number of options, but we're going to continue in a straight line. I found when I was in New York that it was tremendously easy to orient myself because it was all on a grid, of course.
Well, that's where the centre of Glasgow is very good. Not so good here in the outskirts, the suburbs.
Yes.
But the centre of Glasgow is built like a bit like New York. It's all squares.
Right.
So it's quite easy to find your way around.
Yes.
When that beep you can hear, David.
Yes.
It means it's temporarily lost the signal.
Right, so
and it's looking for it.
It's still trying to lock on.
Yes, it's still wanting to lock on.
Trying to find coverage.
Well, John's found it.
Crossing Hillsborough Road. This is Hillsborough Road we're at.
This is, should we hear from the GPS?
Yep.
You are near 41 Hillsborough Road. No points of interest were detected.
So we're near 41 Hillsborough Road.
Yes. Next intersection.
Hillsborough Road crossing Garrow Hill Drive.
Right.
Now, so Hillsborough Road is going to cross Garrow Hill Drive. Is that right?
Yeah, but what we'll go along Hillsborough Road to the right.
Okay.
Because what it does is it tends to tell you where you are, and then it'll tell you what the next intersection will be.
Right. So we're going to turn right here now.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. So we're turning right, and I'm leading the way now. And we're going up Hillsborough Road, is this?
Yeah.
Yep, so we're heading up Hillsborough Road now. Nothing like a good brisk walk on a Friday afternoon to prepare one for the weekend. Alright. There'll be somebody who'll listen to this and say, "You're not using that cane right." You can guarantee. So there's an intersection here.
Yep.
Can we get some information about this?
Yep, we will do.
So we're...
Sit here.
So near 30.
It's not giving me it, I don't know why. Now this is going to be the problem sometimes, David. It can lose the signal.
Right.
But because we're at a junction here, if you just be patient, give it a couple of seconds, it will pick it up. I say, well, it's not perfect, but nothing's perfect, is it? In
no
the sense that before, if you didn't have this, you wouldn't know anything.
Right.
At least waiting that two or three extra seconds can give you that information.
Okay, so what's the latest?
So the latest is we are...
You are near 37 Hillsborough Road.
We're near 37. I think this is the problem with the UK compared with North America, where we don't have as many satellites. And all you have to do is just lose two or three of them over the horizon, and it can be a problem.
Right.
If you live in North America, you're going to find it a bit easier.
Okay.
We're just crossing over Garrow Hill Drive, and we're going on to Hillsborough. We're carrying along Hillsborough Road.
Excellent.
You are near 19 Stephen Crescent. No points of interest were detected. Next intersection, three ways, Stephen Crescent crossing Garrow Hill Drive.
Okay, so we've come up Hillsborough Road, and I assume that Stephen Crescent, which is the road that was just mentioned, is
the one to the right.
Is this the one that we're crossing?
Yeah.
So we're going to go along Stephen Crescent then. Should we do that? Will that bring us out around the block, sort of thing? So we're going right along Stephen Crescent.
Yes.
The idea is we're going to make a rough square to bring us back to John's house. Where do you have the speaker? Because I'm kind of...
Well, it's on my...
It's difficult to judge.
I've got it on my lapel. I've got a wee pin on it.
On your lapel, right.
I've got
it
on my lapel next to my... The traffic can be pretty loud, and if you're in a city centre, it can be very, very, very busy.
Yes.
And you don't always hear it, so you want to have it to as close to your ear as possible. And
right.
That's why the speaker's a bit of extra cable.
Okay.
So if you can put it next to your right ear, your
and
left ear.
And is there a jack to allow you to include an earpiece?
Yes, there is at the bottom of the PDA.
Excellent. Right.
Although I wouldn't recommend it in heavy traffic because you might not hear a car coming.
No, obviously that could be more of a risk than an advantage.
But in certain circumstances it may be appropriate if you're wanting to log offline or you're not wanting people to hear what you're doing.
That's right, yeah. I would imagine...
People think you're mad sometimes trying to cross the road. I'm sure people are convinced your dog is speaking to you. I have never dissuaded them of that view. That guide dog's wonderful these days.
Oh no, they can even come with genetically engineered guide dogs with built-in eloquence. So we're definitely going along a crescent. I really feel a gentle sort of curve to the right.
As you know yourself, David, this is not good if you're visiting here. You're just not aware of it. So
that's right. It can happen so subtly if your road does curve to the right.
Although I get the feeling we're at another intersection.
Yeah, I just said that.
What did the GPS say?
Near 1 Stephen Crescent.
That's number 1 Stephen.
Number 1 Stephen Crescent. So right, so we're at the... We've come...
Next intersection. Three ways. Stephen Crescent crossing Garrow Hill Drive.
Now we've got that coming up to Garrow Hill Drive. So number 1 tells us, obviously, we're at the end of that street, isn't it?
Okay.
And we're coming Garrow to... Garrow Hill Drive. That's now in Garrow. Now we've come around a corner there. We can have a detector.
Well, because it's quite a, long bend of a corner, isn't it, really?
Yes, it is. Yeah. So you can see already how useful that can be, David, when you're
absolutely
coming along like that.
Obviously, if you're concentrating on other things, as we are as blind people when out and about, that extra information.
But isn't it nice to daydream sometimes? You're daydreaming, you're thinking about going to work, or you're thinking about your meeting with...
Completely.
And you're thinking, where am I?
Yeah.
And you hit the button, it tells you where you are.
Four-way intersection. Garrow Hill Drive crossing Hillsborough Road.
Now, this is us going up to Hillsborough Road.
Well, we have a GPS, so we're in a much better situation than perhaps we would be otherwise.
Is that your kind of joint to go
in? I'm wandering around in a residential part of Glasgow. Do we have any information about that intersection?
Yeah, you know, it's taking you in a circle because it curves.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
When you got to Stephen Crescent, you've turned left.
Yes.
Would have taken you down Garrow Hill Drive onto Brackney Road. Brackney Road is a half circle.
Ah.
A lot of these roads are half circles. So what we could do is we could go right and go past Stephen Crescent on this side until we get to Wherewood Drive, I think it is actually, and go down there back onto Brackney Road.
Okay.
Okay, we'll go into the
right. Sounds like a plan. Is there anything you can do to enhance the coverage? Can you get an external antenna for it? Or
you probably would, but you'd look like an alien from Mars.
Well, yeah, this is true.
What's this? I don't think you can, to be honest.
I'm just wondering if there's anything to do to anything one could do to enhance the reception.
Yeah, that'll be happening in Europe pretty soon. There's a new satellite going up.
Oh, okay.
Over Northern Europe, which will
improve the coverage.
Great deal. We may have to change the antenna.
Right.
To work, but I believe the coverage will be really improved and the accuracy. It could come down to those 2 feet, let's say.
Well, that'd be marvellous, wouldn't it?
Currently on Hillsborough Road with Maxwell Drive on your left, Hillsborough Road at front end, Stephen Crescent on your right.
Excellent. So that's really given us quite a lot of information. We're at a four-way intersection, and we've been told about that Hillsborough Road really continues straight in front of us. And on one side, we've got Maxwell Drive.
What I'm doing there, because we missed that, and it was quite a busy traffic, if you miss it, by using the arrow keys, you can review what's on the screen.
Right, so it's a bit like a log of a conversation,
yes,
almost.
Yes, it is. So you can go up that screen, you can see, where did I go wrong here? What did that say?
And
back
so does it keeps a record of your journey then? So then you can see where you've been?
I've not been able to figure that one out, to be honest.
But if you have all your previous directions...
Only for the length of time that you've been out, once you switch it off and switch it on again, that will
be. But at the end of your journey,
Yes, you've got a log. Yes,
if you meet somebody and say, oh, which way did you come? And you can say, oh, well, hang on a minute, and then you can review that
yes,
information.
You can do that.
Okay. Right, so we cross over here, do we, or we turn left? So we're crossing over and carrying on.
Now, what I like about this, I don't know if you've ever walked down the street.
Yes.
But you don't know what side street is off to your right.
That's
true. Because you can't see that far. Well, this will tell you that as well.
You may remember that a particular route takes you over half a dozen side roads.
That's right.
And with the GPS, I guess you're able to be reminded of what the names of those roads actually are.
And what's across the road. Because you may be on the left-hand side of the street.
Yes.
And the street you're looking for
yes.
is on the opposite side, but you won't know.
Yes.
So it reads that out to you, which is very good.
425 Weirwood Avenue. No points of interest were detected. Next intersection. Four ways. Currently on Weirwood Avenue with Garrow Hill Drive on your left, Gordon Avenue in front, and Garrow Hill Drive on your right.
Right, I would imagine that people listening, that Garrow Hill and Gordon probably sound fairly similar at 24k MP3. But we're approaching Gordon Avenue, if I understand
that
right.
Yeah, that's correct, yeah.
On Weirwood Avenue with Garrow Carl Mill Drive on your left. Gordon Avenue in front end. Carol Mill Drive on your right.
Should say you're arrowing down line by line yeah. there. Normally you would get that in a in just yeah. one burst.
Well, I heard yeah. that because you're a little bit of distance away from me from the microphone. You missed that. Yeah. So I'm just reviewing it again by using the cursor key so you can pick it up.
Okay, let's. Are we crossing here, John? No.
Now, what we actually want to do is to say we're on. We're at the end of Werwood Avenue, facing Gordon Avenue, and what we want to do is it's dissected by Garrahill Drive. We want to go down Garrahill Drive to the left. So in effect, we're crossing two parts of the square, or two parts of the crossroads. We're going to cross Garrahill Drive. And then crossing over Gordon Avenue, continuing on down Garrahill Drive.
But on the other side.
But on the other side.
I understand. Right. I can smell fish and chips.
Oh, look at that. It smells very good, doesn't it?
Well, it's got potential, hasn't it?
Eh?
It's certainly got potential.
It certainly has got potential.
Shall we put a point of interest in at the chip shop, do you think?
So that I can find it, I'll put a little recording in here.
Excellent.
Recording.
Fish and chip shop.
Okay.
Point of interest. POI 3 created. POI 3. Fish and chip shop. Nearby.
Fish and chip shop nearby?
Excellent.
So if I can pass here again, I can find it.
If you can't smell the fish, if you've got a bit of flu or something, then you'll know you're there.
The pub's right behind us, guys. Never mind the fish and chip shop. Everyone's just said the pub's right at the end, it's right behind us.
Well, if you're back.
Now, the pub and the fish and chip shop are very near each other, aren't they?
So we've decided on the pub.
So we've decided on going into the pub.
Okay.
Yes, and I'll buy these gentlemen a drink, really. What were your primary motivations for getting this device? As Ian indicated there, clearly the GPS tracker is not... a mobility device, it's a orientation device. You're both guide dog users, mm-hmm. and clearly, I mean, it's not a cheap piece of kit, is it?
It's not, no. But I think it's retailing at around, including VAT, £1,300. You can work out later what that is in dollars. But
about $2,000.
We both had different motivations. I mean, in my job, I move around a lot of Glasgow, but mostly I tend to use taxis. So finding my way in my job isn't too much of a big deal. And the train station, which I use in order to get to work, is close as well. But I like... one of the things that I miss doing was just going for long walks and, you know, seeing where I ended up. In fact, that happened quite regularly to me, except it was a bit of a mystery tour, because this area where I live, when I moved to this area, I found it's got lots of roads that curve into each other, strange angles, nothing's at a right angle, and it's very easy to kind of get confused and get lost. I would, you know, go off thinking this road must go parallel to the one next door. And it would have actually curved off, and then I would have to ask somebody where it was, and it was very frustrating. So, interestingly enough, I got this machine at the same time as I trained for a new guide dog. And guide dogs are moving over to a system where instead of going to a centre and training there, they train people in their home environment. So it was an ideal opportunity to actually try the machine out and use a new dog at the same time.
So you were able to try a tracker before you invested?
Yeah, Ian had got one in loan, and so we both had an opportunity to try it for a little while. You know, I decided, yeah, I'm interested in this. So in effect, I used it the second half of my training, and then during the consolidation period, when you get a dog, there's always that period where the dog doesn't know the area. Handling the dog's still a bit strange, so you end up all sorts of places you didn't really want to go. And I actually found this was a great way of getting to know the area. I know this area a lot better than I ever did, and I've lived in the area now for over, 11 years. And also...
You've had the device for just under a year.
Yeah, just really since the end of last summer. I didn't use it much in the winter, because it's just been such a cold, dreich winter, as they say here.
but I used it a lot through the summer and autumn. And it was a great way of keeping tabs on the dog as well, because when the dog, again, being a new dog, he wasn't familiar with the routes. So, when we kind of wandered off the route a bit, I knew fairly quickly.
Ian, I mean, £1,300 or $2,000, most people don't have that kind of money hanging around. Do you think it's value for money?
To be fair to the company, they have tried to keep down the price because all the equipment is relatively off the shelf. None of the equipment has been adapted, because as we know, most bits of hard kit that we get tend to be specially designed for us, which puts the price up even further. And because it uses a standard PDA and standard aerials, it's kept the price down, believe it or not. And I think where the development has gone is the software. I think as the price of PDAs come down, I think the price of this will come down. Is it worth it? Well, it depends how much money you've got and if you're prepared to pay it or not, doesn't it, really? It's a difficult question to answer. For me, it was worthwhile. Like John, I work as a reporter, so I move around quite a bit, and I very rarely go back to the same place twice. Quite often, I'm quite often going to different areas in different parts of Scotland. And for me, the kind of sense of comfort it gives you, knowing where you are and knowing what's coming up, is psychologically... It's quite comforting. And because you can work it in conjunction with the dog, you're actually much more relaxed and working with the dog, much more relaxed in knowing where you're going. So for me, yes, it was worth every penny. I was speaking about a friend of mine earlier on. He's a piano tuner in South London. For him, it's actually made money for him because he's able to move around much quicker, get to learn the routes much quicker. He's able to get in more work, so thereby he's much more efficient. So in a sense, it's starting to pay for him already. For me, it's not going to pay for itself in that way, but what it is doing is removing a great deal of stress. So for me, yeah, £1,300 was worth it. Well, I would add, there are some more software developments coming up, and I think there's some issues with the case. I think John was mentioning earlier on, I think the case has been a bit flimsy, and I think they have to do a little bit more work on that. That's been a bit of a disappointment. But the company are very good, because they are looking for feedback on that.
The only drawback, I would say, is, you know, it's a good standalone system. You don't have to know Braille. In fact, you know, to use it, because even unless you're going to search for specific streets, you can bookmark streets and you can speech record them into the machine. But to me, the area they have to look at is if you should chance to let the battery run down completely, the software will disappear off the machine. And at that point, you need to reload the software using a PC. You have to basically connect the machine to a PC.
So the software is stored in RAM, not firmware, though.
That's right. No, I think that's a problem. The map isn't. The map is stored on a flash card. That's fine. Right. But the software is actually maintained via the battery. And if that goes, then you've got to reinstall it.
The trouble, this is true of all PDAs, whether they're designed, whether it's this map or not. This is a fault with PDAs. And they're going to have to come across that. So if you're sighted and you're using a PDA, you could still come across the same problem. So you have to use Active Sync. If anybody has used Active Sync, it can be a nightmare sometimes. Once you've got it set up, actually, it's okay. Yeah. But you have to monitor the battery very carefully. Otherwise, you could find yourself with a few problems.
And can you? Does it have a short? Some devices these days, you can take out the battery and just put in a new battery. And it will keep things for at least a short period while you do that. Is there any facility for that?
Not yet. No, but you can charge it up. I'm not quite sure how good the battery is. I think it's one of these batteries which has a memory, if you know what I mean. It remembers. Right. I think that's a problem as well. But we have to remember, we don't want to be too hard on them, because at least this company and a couple are trying to find new devices.
Yes.
It's not a huge market out there for these kind of devices. And I'm quite keen to encourage them.
Yes.
Because I think they really are hitting on something here, which is going to be important. It's just the beginning. And I think maybe over the next 5 years is when we'll see the real revolution of these kind of orientation devices.
Thank you very much. Thanks, gentlemen.
On behalf of the programme, a sincere thanks to John Gird and his wife, John's PA, Leanne, and Ian Hamilton. And for more information about GPS orientation solutions from VisuAid, you can visit their website online now at allthews.visuaid.com. That's V-I-S-U-A-I-D-E.com. V-I-S-U-A-I-D-E.com. Well, that's it for another week, and on behalf of all the Main Menu team, this is Dave Williams saying bye for now.